Good afternoon from Mariners Marsh Park in the Arlington section of Staten Island. On the update this Tuesday, the show will go on. Governor Cuomo said that the U.S. Open Tennis Tournament will be held starting in late August without spectators as part of a state's reopening from virus lockdowns. The U.S. Tennis Association had decided to go forward with its marquee event pending an okay from the state. We'll have the latest details. The bystander footage has been a driving force, of course, in the Black Lives Matter movement, with cell phone-bearing citizens capturing the deaths of George Floyd, Alton Sterling, Eric Garner, and others. It's provided a window into protesters' interactions with officers unimaginable to past generations. Yankee President Randy Levine is basically asking, why aren't we playing baseball? He's called on the Players Association to resume negotiations with MLB to start the pandemic-delayed season. And in Decision 2020, more than four dozen progressive groups have signed a letter to Joe Biden's presidential campaign criticizing his police proposals. They warn if the presumptive Democratic nominee doesn't adopt more progressive policies, he risks losing black voters and the election. This is the update, Tuesday, June the 16th, 2020.
This is the update with Brandon Julian, reporting tonight on the road.
And a very pleasant Tuesday to you. Brandon Julian here, the host of the Update Podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mix Cloud channel. Graduation day at Kingsboro for us, but the news doesn't stop. Not even for us. We're taking graduation pictures tomorrow, but today's road stop is Mariners Marsh Park in the Arlington section of Staten Island, continuing, of course, the very long-running Staten Island series. We have a lot of news to get to this Tuesday, of course, including the latest coronavirus developments. We're going to begin with what the governor had to say during his daily briefing. He said that the U.S. Open Tennis Tournament will be held starting in late August without spectators as part of a state's reopening from coronavirus lockdowns. The U.S. Tennis Association had decided to go forward with its marquee event pending an okay from the state. The U.S. Open is scheduled to run from August 31st to September 13th. It is each season's fourth and final Grand Slam tournament, but it would only be the second of this year. The USTA says the hardcore tune-up tournament, normally held in Cincinnati in August, will move to the Billie Jean King National Tennis Center in Flushing Meadows before the U.S. Open. The professional tennis tours, of course, have been suspended since March because of COVID-19. Back here in the city during the mayor's daily briefing, officials have now launched a new policy requiring NYPD officers to release all body camera footage of shootings and other use of force incidents that result in injury or death. The announcement today regarding body cameras overturns a past policy that gave the NYPD wide discretion on when it made the videos public. It comes, of course, a day after the nation's largest police department disbanded a plainclothes anti-crime unit that's been long criticized for its aggressive tactics, and we'll actually talk about that in just a moment. To the state capitol in Albany we go now, where Governor Cuomo says that the state hospitals can now allow visitors at their discretion. Governor Cuomo said today that hospitals must follow state guidelines, which include time-limited visitors and requiring visitors to wear protective gear. Visits will also be subject to symptom and temperature checks. The governor pointed to signs that the virus is no longer spreading at an overwhelming pace here in New York, which saw a peak of over 700 deaths of individuals who tested positive for COVID-19 a day just in mid-April. The governor also said that 25 individuals who tested positive for COVID-19 died yesterday in hospitals and nursing homes. Speaking of said hospitals, at hospitals around the country, healthcare workers are reckoning with the psychological toll of the fight against the coronavirus and fears that the disease could renew later this year. At Elmhurst Hospital in Queens, workers have been cheered as heroes in the virus crisis. And some have found the fight against the virus deeply meaningful. But the work has also been exhausting and traumatic, even for people accustomed to a life-and-death job. The days when gasping patients arrived at Elmhurst and other hospitals nonstop have subsided for now, but not necessarily the pain. We mentioned that just a moment ago at the NYPD and their Commissioner Dermot Shea, they're saying now that the department will be disbanding the unit involved in Eric Garner's 2014 chokehold death. Commissioner Shea said that the NYPD's anti-crime unit, which operated in plainclothes and focused primarily on seizing illegal guns, had been held responsible for a disproportionate number of shootings and complaints. The changes come amid, of course, the nationwide reckoning over police brutality sparked by George Floyd's death in Minnesota. About 600 officers working in the unit, they'll be giving new assignments. Shea says that a separate anti-crime unit will still operate in the transit system, and the department will continue to use plainclothes officers for things like surveillance and narcotics work. Back to the state capitol in Albany, where now up to 25 people can gather in parts of New York that have entered Phase 3 of reopening under a revised plan that the governor announced yesterday. The governor said that he relaxed the rules because of signs of a continued discipline in hospitalizations and a percentage of new positive cases across the state. But the governor again urged local governments to enforce social distancing rules as videos of socializing New Yorkers failing to wear masks in public or stay 6 feet apart from others over the weekend continue to circulate on social media. We mentioned just a moment ago because there were signs of continued discipline, but not everybody is following said discipline. Upset by the rampant violations in some part of the state over the pandemic-fighting restrictions, Governor Cuomo threatened on Sunday to pull the liquor licenses of scofflaw restaurants and even reinstate the closings in areas where local governments failed to enforce the rules. Manhattan and the Hamptons on Long Island were singled out as the problem areas by Cuomo, who said that the state has received 25,000 complaints of reopening violations. He said that the violations endanger the state's fragile progress in the fight against COVID-19 as it slowly relaxes restrictions that were enacted in March. New York's COVID-19-related hospitalizations, though, are still declining, and the state recorded 23 deaths on Saturday, the lowest one-day coronavirus death toll since the early days of the crisis. And of course, we all know that bystander footage, it's been a driving force in the Black Lives Matter movement, with cell phone-bearing citizens capturing the deaths of George Floyd, Alton Sterling, Eric Garner, and others. Those high-profile clips showed the extremes of police brutality, but in the nationwide protest following Floyd's death 2 weeks ago, it's provided a window into protesters' interactions with officers unimaginable to past generations. Some of the week's most jarring videos have been shot by the traditional news media, but for every encounter captured by reporters, dozens more have been uploaded to social media by protesters and onlookers themselves. There is other news of this Tuesday to address. We will address those when we update Brandon and Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just 30 seconds.
Hi, Cap. Elmo wants to know, what is the census?
Ah, the census is a special time when we count every single person in the country.
Do kids and babies count, too?
Of course. Counting everyone in your home helps support your neighborhood by funding schools, hospitals, and more. So complete the census by calling, going online, or returning your form by mail. It's totally private.
Visit 2020census.gov and...
Make your family count!
Brought to you by Carnegie Corporation of New York and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone. Some of the other news of this Tuesday. We learned that Oprah Winfrey has chosen James McBride's Deacon King Kong for her book club. McBride's is a novel set in a Brooklyn housing project in 1969. It pays tribute to community and to McBride's own childhood in a Brooklyn project. The 62-year-old author is known both commercial success and literary acclaim. His memoir, The Color of Water, sold more than 2 million copies, and his historic novel, The Good Lord Bird, won the National Book Award in 2013. 2 years later, he received the National Humanities Medal for humanizing the complexities of discussing race in America. The NYPD, they've now determined that there was no criminality by some Shake Shack employees, and the three officers drank milkshakes that were believed to be contaminated with bleach. And the chief of detectives of the NYPD tweeted earlier today that the determination came after a thorough investigation. A union had said that the officer stopped at a Shake Shack in the Fulton Center in Manhattan last evening and determined a toxic substance had been added to their beverages. Another union said the officers went to a hospital for treatment, but they weren't seriously harmed. Shake Shack themselves tweeted that it was horrified by the reports and was working with police. The co-founder of a Bronx middle school and a son of Ugandan refugees who earned an MBA from Harvard are now among the insurgents that are challenging veteran Democratic Congress members as New Yorkers are casting their votes in a pandemic-disrupted primary. Educator Jamal Bowman is challenging Representative Elliot Engel, a 16-term incumbent who represents a district that includes parts of the Bronx and suburban Westchester County. Adem Bunkedeko is running against seven-term incumbent Yvette Clark in Brooklyn after narrowly losing to her in the 2018 Democratic primary. Early voting for New York's June 23rd primary started 3 days ago on Saturday. There are federal prosecutors. They've now dismissed charges against a homeless man who had been accused of setting fire to an unmarked NYPD car. Michael Rodriguez was released from federal custody yesterday after his defense attorney said that authorities had arrested the wrong man. Prosecutors didn't explain the alleged mix-up, but said that the case remains under investigation. A spokesman for the U.S. Attorney's Office in Brooklyn declined to comment. The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives also says that video footage showed a man wearing a surgical mask pouring liquid and setting fire to the unoccupied vehicle back on June 2nd. And finally, out west in Syracuse, prosecutors there say that an argument over social distancing led to a fatal stabbing. The Post Standard reports that Chanel Price Green was stabbed on Wednesday outside the Syracuse Community Center, a community health center, according to Onondaga County District Attorney William Fitzpatrick. Price Green was transported to Upstate University Hospital with a midsection stab wound. Julius Brown and Fantasia Torin have been charged in connection to Price Green's death. The offenses include second-degree murder and weapons charges. The pair are being held at Onondaga County Justice Center without bail. Time for us to step aside for a moment. When we return on the update this Tuesday from Mariner's Marsh Park in the Arlington section of Staten Island, we'll help you get around with the MTA Central Service Plan. We're going to talk sports and talk about how Yankee President Randy Levine is basically saying, why aren't we playing baseball? We'll tell you why. We'll also talk about what happened on this day in history. And then we will address the latest national news, including how the president has signed an executive order on policing following the weeks of national protests after the death of George Floyd. We will address that and more when the Update with Brandon and Julian OTR, podcast exclusive also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just a moment.
News for New Yorkers who never stop moving. You're listening to The Update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Pass it on.
Now's the time to stay apart. Social distancing. But I'm adding something else. Pull together. What's pulling together while we're staying apart? It's calling family to check in on them. It's waving to your neighbor. It's the things we should have been doing all along. And when this tragedy passes and we're able to come together, we'll be stronger than ever because we've already pulled together. Stay apart. Pull together.
Pass it on.
From PassItOn.com.
In 1987, some inner-city first graders were promised a college education. Now, this promise didn't come from a wealthy corporation. It came from Oral Lee Brown, who saved a large portion of her modest income every year for these children.
She told Ms. Brown, you can't do everything. I said, no, but we need to do more.
And she did more by sending 19 kids to college, helping others. Pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
From New York, where kids eat for free, this is The Update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Keeping an eye on the roads, the rails, and the skies, it's time for Traffic and Weather Together.
This is just a reminder that the subway is for essential workers and essential trips only. When you ride, you must wear a mask or covering that protects your nose and mouth. Do not touch the mask before you wash your hands. Also, there is no scheduled service on the Grand Central Shuttle and Z trains. For alternate service, you can use the 7 and J trains. Also, the subway is closed every night from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. for disinfecting and deep cleaning of trains and stations. For alternate ways of travel during those hours, visit mta.info/overnight.
Now, with the latest scores and highlights, it's time for the sports update.
Let us talk some sports on this Tuesday. And Yankee president Randy Levine is, like many people, basically asking, why aren't we playing baseball yet? He's called on the Players Association to resume negotiations with Major League Baseball to start the pandemic-delayed season. Levine said the money difference between the feuding sides was not the primary obstacle, but rather issues such as health and safety protocols in determining how to deal with a second wave of the new virus. MLB has made three proposals, the last for a 72-game season starting July 14th that would guarantee about $1.23 billion. The union offered only two plans, the last for an 89-game schedule starting July 10th, and salaries of around $2.25 billion. And up to our neighbors in the north in Ottawa, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau says his government is open to the NHL operating a playoff hub city in Canada as long as it is allowed by local health authorities. If the NHL returns to play amid the pandemic this summer, it would start with the playoffs and with 24 teams, preferably split between two hub cities. The league has narrowed down its potential sites to 10 cities, including Toronto, Edmonton, and Vancouver in Canada. The NHL has said it will not choose a Canadian city if players are subject to the 14-day quarantine that's currently in effect at the border. When we return on the update this Tuesday from Mariners Marsh Park in the Arlington section, Staten Island. We'll talk about what happened on this day in history, and then we will address the latest national news, including how, back here in the States, Seattle Police Chief Carmen Best says that officers will go into the several block area being occupied by protesters if there are threats to public safety. We will address that and more when the update with Brandon Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just a moment.
Keep it tuned in to WKRB. The update returns in a moment.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit ny.gov/coronavirus.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by New York State and the Ad Council.
Hey, Dad, your prescription will be ready in just a minute. Hey, Dad, your laundry will be ready in just a minute. Dad, your lunch will be ready in just a minute.
Hey, honey, why don't you take a minute?
When you help care for a loved one, you give them as much time as you can. But it's just as important to take time for yourself. AARP can help. Find free care guides to support you and your loved one at aarp.org/caregiving. That's aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
From New York City, doing business in the same location since 1904, this is the update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Welcome back to the update, Brandon Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel. Today's road stop, Mariners Marsh Park in the Arlington section of Staten Island. It is graduation day across the CUNY system. Ooh. See, you got to be careful when the bugs are. Got to be real careful when the bugs are flying at your face. But I was saying that today is graduation day across the CUNY system. I, of course, graduated Kingsborough. I've not taken any pictures yet today because news never takes a holiday, even on graduation day. So we're taking lots of graduation pictures. I already have my cap and gown. Is there. It's ready to be put on, but we're going to do cap and gown stuff tomorrow when we are out here, and I'm just going to take a slight, see if I can pull up where we are, where we will be tomorrow. Tomorrow we are at Bayview Terrace Park. I don't know what section of the island it is, but I will figure it out in the next break. But before we get there, let's talk about what happened on this day in history for this June the 16th. Highlight of his day came in 1996 when Russian voters went to the polls in their first independent presidential election. The result was a runoff between President Boris Yeltsin, the eventual winner, and communist challenger Gennady Zyugunov. In 1567, Mary, the Queen of Scots, was imprisoned in Lochleven Castle in Scotland. She escaped almost a year later, but ended up imprisoned again. In 1858, accepting the Illinois Republican Party's nomination for the U.S. Senate, Abraham Lincoln said the slavery issue had to be resolved, declaring, quote, "A house divided against itself cannot stand." In 1883, baseball's first Ladies' Day took place as the New York Gothams offered women free admission to a game against the Cleveland Spiders. New York won that game 5-2. In 1903, the Ford Motor Corporation was incorporated. In 1911, IBM had its beginnings as the Computing Tabulating Recording Corporation, which was incorporated in New York State. In 1932, President Herbert Hoover and Vice President Charles Curtis were re-nominated at the Republican National Convention in Chicago. In 1933, the National Industrial Recovery Act became law with President Franklin D. Roosevelt's signature. The act was later struck down by the U.S. Supreme Court. Also, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation was founded as President Roosevelt signed the Banking Act of 1933. In 1963, the world's first female space traveler, Valentina Tereshkova, age 26, was launched into orbit by the Soviet Union aboard Vostok 6. Tereshkova spent 71 hours in flight, circling the Earth 48 times before returning safely. In 1967, the three-day Monterey International Pop Music Festival, a major event of the Summer of Love, opened in Northern California. Among the featured acts were Jefferson Airplane, The Who, The Grateful Dead, The Jimi Hendrix Experience, Janis Joplin, Otis Redding, and Ravi Shankar. In 1970, Kenneth A. Gibson of Newark, New Jersey, became the first black politician elected mayor of a major northeast city. Also, Chicago Bears running back Brian Piccolo, age 26, died at a New York hospital after battling cancer. In 1978, President Jimmy Carter and Panamanian leader Omar Torrijos signed the instruments of ratification for the Panama Canal treaties during a ceremony in Panama City. And in 1987, a jury here in New York acquitted Bernard Goetz of attempted murder in the subway shooting of four youths he said were going to rob him. However, Goetz was convicted of illegal weapons possession. But in 1996, a civil jury ordered Goetz to pay $43 million to one of the persons that he had shot. When we return on the update this Tuesday from Mariners Marsh Park in the Arlington section, we will address the latest national news, including how more than four dozen progressive groups, they've signed a letter to Joe Biden's presidential campaign criticizing his policing proposals. We will address that and more when the update of Brandon Julian OTR, podcast exclusive also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just a moment.
News for New Yorkers who never stop moving. You're listening to The Update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Okay, men, this is your time. Maybe you didn't choose this, but you're here now. You're going to go out there and be an all-star caregiver. It's up to you. So what are you going to do? You're going to go grocery shopping, cook, clean, be there emotionally and physically. You got to dig deeper. Drive them to physical therapy, doctor's appointments. Don't you forget about the pharmacy. I know you won't, because that's what caregivers do. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. This is your time to show the world, your family, and yourself that you're tougher than tough. Now go out there and be the best caregiver this world has ever seen. Caregiving is tougher than tough. Find the care guides you need at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Listen to us on Mixcloud to learn more about the stories that matter to you. And did you miss out on any episode of The Update? Listen to us anytime at mixcloud.com/the WKRB update.
Welcome back to the Update Brandon Julian OTR, podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel. Today's road stop, Mariners Marsh Park in the Arlington section. Let's talk the latest national news on this Tuesday. And we will begin in Washington, where the president has now signed an executive order on policing following weeks of national protests after the death of George Floyd. The order is aimed at encouraging best practices and tracking officers with excessive use of force complaints. In the Rose Garden, Trump stressed the need for higher standards and commiserated with mourning families, even as he hailed the vast majority of officers as selfless public servants and held his law and order line. The order comes as Senate Republicans are preparing to unveil their own package of policing proposals after Democrats did the same. Out west in Seattle, Police Chief Carmen Best says that officers will go into the several block area being occupied by protesters if there are threats to public safety. Police pulled back from a part of the city's Capitol Hill neighborhood after recent clash with people protesting the Minneapolis death of George Floyd near the department's East Precinct. A festival-like atmosphere has emerged in the area, now called the Capitol Hill Occupied Protest, with participants painting a Black Lives Matter mural on the street and planting a community garden. Best Hat said that officers have written multiple police reports for crimes reported in that area in the past 48 hours. Going back to Washington, in Decision 2020. More than four dozen progressive groups have now signed a letter to Joe Biden's presidential campaign criticizing his policing proposals. They warn that the presumptive Democratic nominee doesn't adopt more progressive policies, he risks losing black voters, and also the election. In the letter, the groups criticize Biden's proposal to add $300 million to community policing programs. They called on him to support defunding the police, a proposal pushed by progressives that Biden has resisted. The letter also calls on Biden to support reparations for black Americans, another proposal that he's resisted. Biden has called on Congress to pass a law banning the use of chokeholds, to stop giving police military weapons, among other measures. And finally, overseas and out of Johannesburg in South Africa, researchers there have announced the first drug shown to save lives among severely ill coronavirus patients, offering hope even as infection rates rise across Africa and Asia. There also have been worrisome upticks of contagion in countries that had largely contained the virus, such as South Korea and New Zealand. Researchers in England said the cheap, widely available steroid called dexamethasone reduced deaths by 35% in patients who needed treatment with breathing machines. They said that it also reduced deaths by 20% in those only needing supplemental oxygen. It did not appear to help less ill patients. New record-high infections, though, were registered in South Africa over the weekend, despite further loosening of restrictions, while daily deaths continued to rise in Egypt. Our thought for today is from Cyril Connolly, a British critic, born in 1903 and died in 1974. Our thought for today is, our memories are card indexes, consulted and then returned in disorder by authorities whom we do not control. I will let you guys ponder on that as we say in the words of Walter Cronkite, that is the way it is, Tuesday, June the 16th, 2020. That is the update on this Tuesday from Mariners Marsh Park in the Arlington section. I'm Brandon Julian. We appreciate you joining us. And in the words of Roger Grimsby and Bill Butel, hoping that your news is good news, I thank you very much for joining me. Good luck. Be safe. Be well. We're at Bayview Terrace Park tomorrow and Thursday, and I hope you can join me then.